So I'm trying to get through this in 20 minutes. If not, give this few minutes, I'll skip out some parts. This is actually a project that I've been working on for this is the past 12 months, so it's still a work in progress, as any dictionary is. So there's a popular story in Guyana about a foreign doctor who, while working here, had a patient who complained of belly pains because, as you say in Guyana, she did an operation. The doctor then requested the patient to show him the marks of surgery that were a result of the surgical operation. What the patient meant, however, was that she was experiencing bouts of diarrhea, which caused abdominal cramps. This simple scenario demonstrates that a communication barrier exists between foreign doctors and Guyanese patients. However, as one travels around Guyana, one will notice that not only are foreign doctors posted around the country, but Guyanese doctors are also posted in areas that are foreign to them. As it is, we migrant doctors or doctors who were trained overseas for several years but are now posted in areas not indigenous to them. What plays out are interesting linguistic scenarios. Guyanese medical practitioners will either rely on their own knowledge of the language based on where they come from, or it'll take several months to learn the lingua franca of the community, or they will rely on the local medical assistance for translation purposes. Now, in this presentation, there are several considerations that I'd like to explore, as you can see here. So, start with the communication gap. As we know, language is an indispensable tool of communication, and it communicates our emotions, our desires, complaints. Whenever a patient sees a doctor, it's very important that the doctor understands exactly what the patient is saying. Failure on the part of the doctor and the patient can result in detrimental consequences, and such consequences, as you know, can include misdiagnosis or delayed treatment because the patient didn't communicate clearly his or her condition. Now, because a lot of times the medical provider or the patient come from different linguistic systems, it's easy to see that a communication gap can become larger. Now, if someone says, for example, Halafi close now, it could mean someone in the rural areas, such as quarantine in Guyana, would take that to mean can I remove the clothes or can I remove the clothing? The first sentence that you see here, as I get to the end of the presentation, I'll explain to you exactly what our orthographic system is. So the marriage of linguistics and medicine has never been so relevant as today, with the growing influx of foreign medical professionals from Cuba, Brazil, Ethiopia, China, plus increased medical services available to indigenous communities, there remain large language gaps that need to be bridged between medical provider and patients. I became interested in this area because of two reasons. One, to bridge the communication gap, and very importantly, to preserve the Guyanese language through writing and audio eventually. That's the direction the project will take. When I first embarked on this project, I decided to search online to see if anything had been published in this area in Guyana. The only thing I came across was a list of Guyanese terms compiled by Dr. Michael Cole of Fort Smith, Arkansas, who takes a team of volunteer medical professionals to Guyana every year. They have been going to Guyana for the past 20 years, and I was delighted that someone recognized the difference in linguistic systems and decided to document such findings that were used in practical circumstances. I made contact with him. I was happy enough to meet him because I later found out that year was the last year for the project. After 20 years, it would come to an end. In our discussion, it was clear that there was definitely a language barrier that needed to be bridged. So this compilation is one that will step in the direction of equipping medical professionals with relevant linguistic knowledge and encourage Guyanese people to use their own language. One of the things I believe is that language, as we all know, is a repository of local wisdom. And one of the examples here is, okay, I grew up hearing that I would get pile. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the term pile here. No? Alright, so I grew up hearing that I would get pile if I sat on cold concrete. Or, I know Professor Dina would know this, right, my wife, that if you wear wet clothes for a long time, you get pile. Or if you sat on cold concrete, the older folk will tell us that you'll get pile. However, medically, we are told that piles are hemorrhoids, right? That's what they are caused by straining the hemorrhoid veins. Interestingly, persons involved in which is a Brazilian, neighboring Brazilian town, to let them, the Chinese town, let them believe they can get piles by doing the opposite, by being exposed to heat. Like for example, if you sit for a long time on your motorcycle, the heat from the engine can give you piles. Another thing I was told not to do was don't take a bath as soon as I took my feet out of shoes, or else I'll get Bigfoot. Bigfoot is actually a case of elephantiasis, which is spread by mosquitoes. These examples tell us that we have a rich tradition of popular beliefs and local knowledge that helps to maintain our language and thoughts. And two, there is a need for medical professionals to become familiar with Chinese terms and popular beliefs. It's necessary for foreigners, especially Cubans. I'm saying here especially Cubans, less than Cubans here, because there's an exchange program in Cuba and Guyana where a lot of medical professionals who get posted all around Guyana. So it's especially important for Cubans and Guyanese medical professionals who are assigned to different parts of the country to learn the lingua franca of the community in which they're posted. We in Guyana have a unique way of labeling our body parts. So this entire thing that you see here, that's what we call our foot. Alright. So, to say that your foot hurts can refer to a pain in your thigh, your leg, or your foot. So the foot is a generic term. When someone says that your belly is hurting, well, you mean your stomach, your tummy, it could be as a result of acid reflux or food poisoning or a strain. So, belly means this entire thing. Sometimes it gets complicated. In the case of prescribing administering medication, the medical professional has to be cognizant of the various ways of expressing terms in different communities. On the coastline, it might be better to write down the times to take the medication, but in rural, interior, indigenous communities, especially for the older folk, where time is not described using a clock or where clocks are not used, the persons are more connected to their environment. A medical professional can give directions. This is actually what they do here, is to say, take the first dose in the morning with the sun here in the east, then the sun up top, and then sun in the west. So using the sun, that's with a dispense medication. So the Sapir-Whorf hypothesis recognizes the relationship between language and thoughts and works construct of linguistic relativity. Essentially states that speakers' formation of their worldview is facilitated by the language. So you preserve language through the language, and language is preserved through the continuity of culture. Another interesting thing that I believe here is a future area of medical research in Guyana is that medical conditions are described or are more prevalent in certain areas of Guyana and among certain ethnic groups. For example, in the coastline, as you can see here, or Amerindians living, Amerindians living in interior locations are more likely to seek treatment for snake bites, arthritic pains, malaria, diarrheal symptoms. And in some rural communities, Nara is a predominant Indian condition. It's up for debate. So I would ask Professor Dina, is Nara an Indian condition? What is Nara? Some people say it's a myth. It's all in your head, but it's also said to be an abdominal muscular strain that somehow just happens among East Indians. I've never had it as yet, right? But it just seems to happen around there. Cases of hypertension and diabetes are reported more often in coastal areas. However, someone in the medical profession noted to me that the reason that hypertension and diabetes are not reported in interior locations is either because persons are not aware of the conditions, or they don't suffer from those ailments because of their active lifestyle. So, as I said before, most American persons, I guess because of the kind of lifestyle they work, they have back pain, knee pain, head pain, neck pain, and that's an interesting way of describing the different kinds of pain. I'm just going to gloss through this section here. So, in the dictionary, the medical terms take the shape of one-word items or phrases. Basically, anything that could be associated with the medical profession or seeking medical advice, which also includes herbal cures, as we say in Guyana, bush medicine. The compilation does not substantially cover veterinarian terms as yet. An interesting question is, which words are Guyanese? And I'm using Guyanese here instead of Creolese, which is a term that's popularly used there. So Guyanese refers to Guyanese Creole English, but encapsulates other languages present in Guyana, but whose words and expressions find themselves in the mainstream of language. Guyanese, in other words, is the lingua franca of the Guyanese society. For example, Latam is a mainly trilingual with Portuguese, English, and Wakichan. Many coastlanders would say "ache" when they want to signal disgust or someone. So one of the common ways there is if you have the ladies, you have the girlfriends, and you see one of your girlfriends walking with a guy and you don't really like him, you say "ache" to signal disgust. And it could also include other ways, but this is the one that's most common here. So, interestingly, "ache" is a phonological variant of the Wakichan adjective "achu," which means deformed, and from Melville 2004. So, therefore, "ache" finds its way in the dictionary purely because it's part of the Latin Guyanese lingua franca. Guyanese is a fully developed and functional language which has several dialects. Guyanese people will easily recognize a rural variety or an urban variety, for example, a Barbadian variety or an Esquivel variety. These varieties I just call dialects. I'm just going to gloss here. So there are different phonological processes that are prevalent there. So there are several examples of where there's a deletion of final syllables or phones and so on, deletion of initial syllables and those kind of things. I'm sure, I guess when Professor Dina first came here and he says to his student, "I'm going downtown," it sounded strange. I remember Professor John refers saying that when he tells the students he's going downtown, it looks strange because Tom has tongue in his mouth, but downtown is a kind of same thing. So there are several unique ways that Guyanese will say things. Morphologically, as I was saying earlier, there's an interesting way of how we describe things in Guyana where we have the adjective on the noun. So you'd say a sweet man, or a red man, which is by ethnicity a red man, or a tall man, short man, fat man, big man, which is an older man, or a big lady. Or in terms of medically, you have an eye pain or a belly pain. So you have pain, eye, hand pain, finger pain, toe pain, whatever it is, your mouth pain, ear pain. Or if you have boils, a water boil or a hard boil. So you have all these kinds of adjectives there. One of the things, alright, so I'm just going to go here. So there's a section I was going to talk about syntax and morphology. But one of the more important things that I wanted to talk about here is the status of Creole. Interestingly, this week and next week, the University of West Indies is celebrating Creole Month or Creole Awareness. I think on the 25th, there is it's International Language Awareness Day or Creole Day. So I really wanted to talk about this. So whenever Creole or whenever Guyanese is written, a common question to ask, what is the right way to spell words? And I think someone was alluding to it earlier in terms of, I think it was in terms of how to write. Should we use English? Should we use Creole? This is an important question, I think, the dictionary publication of it could answer. As we know, the issue of standardization is never a clear-cut, simple process. A language is essentially a spoken system, and some languages are written. In this case, Creole is now becoming written. Now, I need to say that if we recognize Guyanese Creole as a language by itself, then how much more should we recognize it as a language via a written or an orthographic system? And not a system that limits the language to satire only, nor an orthographic system that piggybacks on English orthography, which kind of signals us the school of one school of thought is that Creole isn't a complete language enough to have its own system. In other words, writing validates the language, I believe, and gives it status. Romain 2005 suggests that a lexifier coding system, or like the colonizer's language, does Creoles a disservice because it suggests the language. It suggests that the Creole is inferior. Therefore, there's a need to develop an autonomous orthographic system. The existence of a codified standard spelling gives a language more autonomy than it might otherwise have if it had to rely entirely on the orthography of another language. Creole writing systems based on the orthographies of other lexifiers, often do Creoles a disservice in suggesting that they're inferior and deficient versions of the languages in which they're lexically affiliated. So I've decided to consciously use an orthographic system that's called a Cassidy phonetic system. That was devised by Frederick Cassidy in a Jamaica dictionary. It's also the system that's used a lot now in Jamaica in the promotion of Jamaican Creole. So I chose a system to represent the writing of Guyanese. However, there are a few modifications to Cassidy that were necessary if it were to represent Guyanese phonology, because there are certain prosodic features of Guyanese that still need to be documented. But neither is English a better system to represent our Guyanese language. I take as my cue the pronouncements of Guyanese Professor Hubert Devenish of UWI. He's also the head of the Jamaican Language Unit. And he sees standardization as an important philosophical and political process, which is essential in the building of a Caribbean identity and nationhood. And for that very reason alone, I would support Devenish. He also makes a salient point about creating a system for our Creole language as a separate and distinct system that is complete in its own right as a fully developed system. He rightly says the process of Creole standardization and normalization is about the assertion of national identity amongst bilingual speakers. For the latter, the idealization of the Creole language variety is a central issue. In spite of this, however, the main claim currently being made for the public formal use of Creole is as a means of respecting the language rights of predominantly monolingual speakers of the language when they deal with agencies of the state. It is this respect for monolingual speakers of Guyanese that predominantly informs this compilation. Moreover, the need of recognition of the Guyanese language as a complete system which is worthy of standardization is another major tenet that has influenced the orthographic system employed in this compilation. Another important question, however, is to ask, considering the varieties of Guyanese, what form of the language should be used to write down? Since there are several dialects, which one should be used to write down? Answering this question about which form is mutually intelligible to all Guyanese people, Devenish 2003 replies that a version which is the midway variety, which is widely accessible to all, yet the perceived need for Creole and English to coexist in official functions produces an approach that seeks to maintain and reinforce the distinction between the two languages. For this reason, I have consciously chosen to use a writing system that maintains and reinforces the differences between the two dominant languages in Guyana, English and Guyanese. Some persons have even remarked that they cannot read Cassidy or will have to learn how to before they can read it. My response to the concern is simple. Persons can read English because they were taught so. They were taught how to do it in the formative stages of learning the alphabet. In any case, English seems to be unreliable in terms of spelling, in the same way a relearning can take place. After all, those concerns give credence to the fact that there are two separate linguistic systems, and the Guyanese orthography gives to light that fact. Earlier, in early last year, a charter on language policy and language rights in the Creole-speaking Caribbean was formulated and sent to by signatories from across the Caribbean. I was lucky to be invited to that gathering and the actual signing of the charter. Now, the charter spells out conditions for the use of Creole indigenous languages in the Caribbean territories. Significantly, the charter makes a pronouncement on language use in the medical field. Actually, it's the only article in the charter that directly addresses the use of language in medical scenarios. As you can see here, language communities are entitled to their use of their languages when health services are provided and to therapeutic support in these languages when its members suffer from language disorders. No, so what does Cassidy look like? This is an example here. It's something that is now taking roots in Guyana. In Jamaica, there has been a huge campaign to re-educate the population in terms of how to write down their language, spearheaded by Professor Devenish of the Jamaica Language Unit in Mona. I think this month they are launching the new test in collaboration with the Jamaican Bible Society, the publication of the Jamaican New Testament, and there are a whole host of other kinds of resources on how to write, how to speak Jamaican on CD and as a guide. So this now is not only touching on in Guyana. So I've taken a bold step to use Cassidy amidst the criticism that persons can't read can't read it. Now, what does it look like? This is just an extract here. The dictionary, right now as it is, has 400 terms and expressions. So, for example, cat bile. So there's the Cassidy there, cat bile, and then there's the English. So which would be cat boil. But if you give someone the English cat boil in Guyana, they'll say cat bile. So Cassidy fully represents the spoken language. And then there are certain sections where there's an anthropological note. So there's a popular belief in Guyana that if you give somebody something and you take it back, you get a cat boil. If something pops, a cyst will come out. It's a cat boil. So the conclusion, I see the dictionary as a descriptive compilation, not a prescriptive one, as many dictionaries are. And it's also noteworthy that any dictionary cannot fully ever capture all the words at any one point in time, especially this type of a dictionary, because every time I get to the end of it, I'll hear something. I heard my wife's grandmother say something the other day about our sister's newborn baby, and I never heard it before. So every day, there are words that can be added here. While there are several dictionaries of Caribbean Creole languages, I've not seen any specialized publication of Creole medical terms. There are some very seminal compilations, including the Dictionary of the English Creole of Trinidad and Tobago, Wine of 2009, Creole English Dictionary, here and others, 1 to 10, and the Dictionary of Jamaican English, Cassidy and LePage, 2002, and ALSOP's seminal dictionary, 1996, Dictionary of Caribbean English Usage, which also includes Guyanese words related to flora, fauna, and medical conditions. This dictionary of Guyanese medical terms, as far as I know, is the first compilation of Guyanese lexemes and expressions specific to medical conditions. The only publication of a slightly similar nature that I come across is A Guide to the Medicinal Plants of Coastal Guyana, Lushman, White, and others in 1987. Now, in looking to the future, there are several, or the point at right now is that I've had all the words and I've gone through all the lexemes. So I've started a process of medical scrutiny to have several medical professionals from different parts of the country scrutinize it. And after that, it will go to the linguistics professors the lexicography experts. In Mona, Professor Devinish, and Joseph Parkinson from Trinidad, St. Augustine, then it will have to be adopted and get approved. Because what I really want to do is to have this dictionary adopted in the medical profession in Guyana, and I've started the process of meeting with the Cuban ambassador to Guyana, and it will have to be adopted by the Medical Council of Guyana and the Ministry of Health. In Guyana, so that it now becomes an essential part of any medical practice in Guyana, especially when you get posted into the rural areas or, as you say, the interior locations. And then I believe it will get funding from the ministry there, and the final section would be to have a written publication backed up by an audio publication also. So what I believe the dictionary will do, at least the two major tenets of this, is to crystallize our language in writing, promote the language in writing, to show that our language is worthy enough of being written. You say something like this to a lot of Guyanese, you have to spend a long time trying to convince them of their own language that is worthy of being written. And also that linguistics can be used in a very practical way. And our language can, the Creole can be used in a very practical way. Time was not for me to show you what the dictionary entries look like. But if you're interested, I'll be happy to share them.